This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
It is 17 minutes to six. Sarah Webb, welcome to Joy Drive.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
I'm so excited. I think this year's going to be a good one. I feel like that's very cliche, but I've got to believe it.
I think so too. It's the energy at the moment, the energy of the planet. And it's also the energy of something that's over 2 tons coming towards us.
Okay, Sarah, I just want to, before we dive into this, I just want to say that for the last hour and 45 minutes, Warren has been like alarmist and being like, don't look up, something's coming from the sky.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
And I've been trying to say Sarah Webb is going to, I hope, bring us good news, and we can't keep saying it like that. So please clarify this for
What's
us, Sarah.
Coming towards us?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe don't look up, but the chances are very, very slim. So currently there is a massive piece of a satellite falling towards the Earth, which I know sounds like the beginning of a Netflix movie, but it's not. This thing is just really old and it's been stuck in orbit and all of a sudden has, you know, we knew it was going to fall to Earth, but it is massive. It is over 2 tons worth of material and we're tracking it really precisely to try to figure out where it will land because hopefully most of it will burn up on re-entry, but there's a very slim chance that there'll be a little bit left over that could possibly land on land, but very, very slim chances.
Sarah, how old is this? Is it satellite? Is it NASA satellite? How old is it?
It is amazingly old. So I assume that it was from the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. And then when I went reading, so this thing was first launched in 1984. So many, many decades ago, it was only meant to work for 2 to 3 years. So this was a probe that was studying solar radiation. This little guy worked its butt off until 2005.
Oh, wow.
And then it lost communication and just became a piece of something we call space junk. And because we couldn't move it anymore, the drag of the Earth's atmosphere, even though it's very thin up there, it does pull things down. And after all this time, almost 20 years later, it's finally re-entering the atmosphere.
Wow, so it's just been like hanging out, like not functioning, just like out there.
In its 80s outfit.
Exactly. I know all the other satellites were judging it.
Oh, 100%. They're like, what?
But Sarah, this raises a bigger question, doesn't it? That all this stuff that we do send up, and I mean, we've obviously sent up lots more stuff since the 1980s. I mean, eventually it is going to run out of its lifespan and make its way back, isn't it? Do we need some sort of space vacuum to go and collect all this junk?
Oh, absolutely. So there's a couple of different things that can happen. So little satellites, ones that aren't as massive, can burn up almost entirely. So what's falling back to the Earth is really tiny bits of debris, things that aren't hazardous to us or to our infrastructure. So that's nice, but it's still not great because we are polluting the planet. Another option is we push them far away from Earth and we stick them in something called a graveyard orbit. But that's not perfect either, because you can imagine a couple hundred years and we've filled up that orbit. What are we going to do? So this is something that researchers are really actively trying to figure out. Like, can we catch what's up there? And then could we, in theory, reuse it?
What an amazing museum, though, in hundreds of years' time,
gosh.
We can travel and we can all go, have you been to the graveyard?
It's amazing.
Like, and just see all these old things.
Oh, it would be incredible because if you Google this thing that's coming down, it's called Ebus. It looks amazing. And the best part about satellites is they don't have to be aerodynamic once you're that high up in the atmosphere. So they're not sleek and pretty. They are clunky and junky and they're really, really cool. They've got some great shapes going on.
Speaking of cool, Sarah, there's a rover celebrating a birthday.
Aww. There is Percy Perseverance, the new Mars rover, is celebrating its first Martian birthday, which is very exciting.
First Martian birthday?
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
So Mars takes a little bit longer to go around the sun than we do. So it's almost double our Earth year. And so this Mars rover has been on there for the right amount of time that it's done one loop around the sun, but in Mars time. In reality, it's been there for about 2 years. But that's a big milestone for a little rover.
So Martian is the word that you use for something from Mars, like, for example, Martian years. So does the word Martian, like alien, come from Martian, like Mars as well?
Yeah, so the idea of little Martians, I think there was a story back many, many years ago that described the idea of these Martian aliens.
Wow. Etymology, so cool, Sarah. What don't you know?
That's probably my only bit of etymology. That's it.
Sarah, just on this little Mars rover Perseverance, so it's, what, two years on the red planet? Our years, or 687 Mars days circling it. What's it given us?
It has given us so much. So this rover is a little bit different to some of the previous ones where it's still trying to do science, trying to figure out what is happening on the surface and can we find organic compounds. But another thing it's doing is actually bottling up some samples that it thinks is worthy for humans to look at and leaving them on the surface. So it's literally leaving us little like Easter eggs for us to go pick up in the next decade's time and bring back to Earth.
Something makes me more comfortable, though, about them being left there and not necessarily just sent back without someone checking them first.
I mean, it does. It is very horror movie alien disease vibes, but I'm sure if Percy said it's safe, I trust the robot.
Okay.
We love Percy. Happy birthday, Percy.
Happy birthday.
So cute. Now, there's also been a moon mission that's arrived safely. Can you tell us about that?
I can. So we've had the Orion mission in the last 2 months. We've seen that launch and come back. But there was another one flying under the radar, and it was a South Korean moon mission. So the moon is really, it's hot property. Everybody wants to go and study it and be there because there's so much that it can give us. And we've just seen South Korea's first ever moon mission not land, it's inserted itself into orbit. And it's sending us back some like absolutely spectacular images of the moon. It's really, really breathtaking.
Do all these different countries that endeavour to get to the moon, does everyone share all the information? Is it very friendly?
It is to a certain degree. So everybody's kind of working towards similar goals. This idea that we want to figure out, can we live on the moon? But mainly we want to figure out how do we use something like the moon to our advantage when we want to go to Mars or beyond. And so this spacecraft actually involves a little project that's run by the US, the American team, to be able to image different parts of the moon and try to figure out if there's water ice or if there's shadowed regions. So for the most part, space, it has to be a friendly game. Everybody has to work together because if you don't, you just won't achieve the goals.
Sarah, so interesting as always. So much for us to learn from you. So thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
And happy New Year. Yeah, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Oh, I can't wait to see. Maybe this is a year, Warren, where we announce that there's aliens.
Oh, here on Joy Drive. Promise, Sarah.
I can't promise, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
That's Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology. Chat to you in a couple of weeks.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.